Please be seated. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. We give praise to God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things which do not exist. The gift of resurrection come Easter morning is the gift of faith, your faith, our faith, my faith, shared faith. The resurrection is the liberation and the empowerment of the preaching of the gospel, of the teaching of the church, of the speaking of an intervening, saving, healing word, spoken and heard. Now, some of us through the year and years have been auditing the course in faith, and auditing is good, but this is Easter morning, so there may be one or two among us who, rather than just auditing, would like to sign up and register and pay tuition and come to class and take the midterm and write the term paper and take the final and stand for a grade. How shall we hear faith apart from worship? How shall we find faith apart from community? How shall we know faith apart from study? How shall we understand giving without receiving and giving? The gift of Easter morning to you is a quickened life by faith, of faith, in faith. A quickened life by faith, of faith, in faith. Some decades ago, on a bitter February morning, well before dawn, at 20 below zero on the Fahrenheit scale, along a country road just north of the Canadian border down into Canada, drove along the St. Lawrence River. You'd been through the border. You know the questions at the border. They're your daily questions. They're a lifetime. What's your name? Where are you from? Where are you headed? Do you have anything to declare? That morning, as the snow pelted and the ice caused concern, out of the distance came a tractor trailer with two bright headlights. And then slowing down and flashing the lights and unrolling his window, the driver leaned forward and said, "Où est la frontière?" Where is the border? And summoning up out of my collection of 9 French words that I had available to me, I responded, "Oh, bon, la frontière est prochaine à l'ouest." And before I could finish what would have been a soliloquy befitting the dour voice of Marcel Proust himself, I guarantee you, he interjected and said, "Oh, buddy, you're an American. I can tell from your accent, and you don't speak very good French. But could you tell me how to find my way out of this wilderness?" A light in the dark, a word spoken and heard in the deep woods. This is the gift of resurrection. Come Easter. We remember Romans chapter 4, verse 17, "Be God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence what does not exist." Now remember slowly for a moment all that Paul has written in Romans about faith, to bring about the obedience of faith among the nations. "I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'The righteous shall live by faith.' Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because of the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by faith through the Holy Spirit." Now, hope that is seen is not hope. Who hopes for what he sees? But we hope for what we do not see and wait for it with patience. What then shall we say to this? If God is for us, who is against us? Who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or peril, or nakedness, or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your minds. That is, let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Never lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in your tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. From faith to faith. Faith that has and needs no validation. The resurrection, not merely a fundamentalist literalism and not merely a modernist reductionism, the spoken word heard and received. A quickened life of faith as well, not just by faith, but of faith. Now, we're going to take a back road here in the dark with the snow pelting in Romans. We're going down that route in chapter 4. You remember the ice of that road. Did you hear the way Paul puts it? In every other reference in the letter to resurrection, he uses a verb he likes, agero, raise up. Here he uses zoopoentes, meaning makes alive, enlivens, quickens. And do you hear the way he puts it? Said Emily Dickinson, tell the truth, but tell it slant. Paul here tells it slant. He says, the God who gives life to the dead, raises the dead, and who calls into existence the things that do not exist. That is, did you notice it? Take an Easter moment here. Paul, this way, says, resurrection large, creation small. Paul spells God by resurrection. Paul describes God by resurrection first. Paul cedes the first place of the gospel to resurrection. Resurrection is the set and creation the subset. Now, there's a mystery that will take a long time to unravel, but if nothing else, we can hear today about such a big resurrection, about such a large resurrection, about such a stout resurrection, that our resurrection is too small. Your resurrection is too small. You need to see it and hear it and feel it more broadly. You need to take that size 38 suit of resurrection and trade it in for a 42 long. You need to open the hem a little bit. You need to get toward a stout, full sense of resurrection, says Paul in Romans 4:17b. The God who gives life to the dead and creates, brings to existence the things that do not exist. It's almost as if the quintessential portion of creation from nothing is resurrection, the gift of Easter morning for us. Your resurrection can be too small, to paraphrase J.B. Phillips. Let's watch and see and hear, not only by faith and not only of faith, but a quickened life in faith. Every day is a part of the trip across that border. And here are your questions. What is your name? The gift of Easter is your name is twofold, cross and resurrection. The resurrection follows but does not replace the cross. Remember this past week, betrayal, that's Judas, denial, that's Peter, judgment, that's Pilate, and then suffering, trauma, torture, despair, death, that's crucifixion, burial, that's denial. All we hold on to the word of the cross and see with compassion all the days of our lives. We see not just according to the flesh or according to the spirit, but katastaron, according to the cross. But you have a surname as well, and that's resurrection, the gladness of this morning. Not only the majestic brass, the church triumphant, and triumphant it is, but also the lilies in memory and honor, the church in heaven, not only the church on earth, but the church in heaven, not only the church militant, but the church triumphant. This is where you come from. This is the answer to the question that comes next. Where are you from? Well, you're out of a community, a fellowship of memory and of hope. Some of that is not only in baptism, but in the fellowship that raised you. And it goes beyond the Christian church only. It is in many native tongues and varieties. Think of the meaning Abraham Heschel's voice has had for us in these years, who said, "Different are the languages of prayer, but the tears are all the same." Who said, "To be spiritual is to be amazed every day." Who said, "When I was young, I admired clever people, but now that I am old, I admire kind people." The church, right here. Where do you come from? This fellowship. One said this week that theater is a matter of getting people into the same room, breathing the same air, and thinking together about what it means to be human. Well, that's not too far from a part of what has caused your origin and sent you forth. You know, in 1965 or so, the Old Northern Conference of the Methodist Church gathered in Malone, New York, and if I remember right, the preacher for that day was a student of Paul Tillich at Iliff College, Iliff Seminary, and he preached on the theme, not quite a quickened life, but the need of intensity. And the preacher that day, Robert Pennock, my father-in-law, Jan's dad at age 90, is here, and we'll check with him later to see if the sermon squares with the text. A quickened life, where did you come from? Your name, where did you come from? Where are you headed? You know, life emerges out of a series of choices. You decide, and then you decide again. It's a movement. Jesus is our beacon, not our boundary. We're guided along, and where are you headed? From this pulpit last May, then head of the United States Peace Corps, Carrie Radelet, told about being an undergraduate at Boston University and going downstairs here at Marsh Chapel and seeing on the bulletin board a little sign, "We need you. Come volunteer. Help teach in Chelsea." And she did. And the rest is history. Where are you headed? We as a country are headed toward a fuller need to remember and practice the arts of democracy, of engagement, of conversation, of listening, of mediation, of evaluation in the months, the decades, the years to come. Where are you headed? Eugene Lang in 1981, he just died this past week, was invited to return to his public school in New York, PS 121, to speak to the sixth grade graduates. And there they were, a sea of African American and Hispanic youth from that neighborhood. And he realized the folder he had brought along meant nothing. So he set it aside, he looked them in the eye, and he said, "Any of you who graduate from high school in the next 6 years and are accepted to a four-year college, I will pay your tuition in full." Now, that was a graduation speech that had hearing and listening. And years later, half of those 69 did. Where are you headed? And do you have anything to declare? You know, in life, we desire to love one way or another, in family, with friends, in partnership, in community. We want to find a way to whisper, "I love you." Not to forget those three important sentences in all relationships. "You're right," "I'm sorry," and "I love you." Life is short. We'll leave to Professor Hobbes the question whether it is also solitary, nasty, poor, and brutish, but it is definitely short. What declaration do you make? 4 years ago on April 15th, some of us were on Boylston Street, as others will run tomorrow. One, a young woman named Roseanne came to the finish line and tragically lost her leg. She would have lost her life but for the fireman, Michael, who came alongside her and steadied her and put on a tourniquet and guided her to the place where she could be cared for. She said, he was doing so much, I said, would you also hold my hand? And he did. Months passed, weeks and months of conversation. He continued to visit. They came to know each other. They came to be acquainted. They came into a full friendship. They fell in love. And this December on Nantucket, they engaged one another for marriage. The next week they went, he in full gear and she one leg ahead of the other, all the way up the inside of the Empire State Building to the 86th floor and looked out on the city of New York. Said she, he's not a person of many words, but we were able to see one another's character. Don't you hear the whisper of human to human and thus human to God? I love you. I love you. What do you have to declare? The gift of Easter morning resurrection is the gift of faith, that is, a quickened life by faith, of faith, in faith. Some of us, I think, have been auditing the course in faith for a while, and that's good. But this is Easter. Maybe today is a day to sign up, register, pay the tuition, buy the books, take the course, read for the midterm and final, and stand for a grade as well. We'll be there to help you when you stumble. For we give praise to God who brings life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Says the Canadian Creed, we believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in the true person, Jesus, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. God calls us to be the church, to celebrate Christ's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice, resist evil, proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. The Lord is risen. He is risen.